bit of a bold statement, but today I intend to place before you a key to joy. The joy of Christmas, the joy of Easter, the joy of heaven. Anybody who's had the pleasure of meeting vibrant religious sisters, such as maybe the Dominicans of Nashville or the Sisters of Life, can't come away but thinking, why are they so joyful? One of the reasons is quite simple, that they know Jesus in a real, personal way. A second reason, though less obvious, is they have a better grasp of just how near God is to each of us. And 1 week before Christmas, such an awareness is keenly relevant. Why? Because we can experience God breaking into our world in a real, tangible way. Each of our readings points to God breaking into the world. In our first reading from Isaiah, we see God breaking into time through his prophets. Therefore, the Lord will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Through Isaiah, God was breaking into time and at the same time foretelling a future time when he would intervene in a more profound way. In the gospel, God breaks into time again. God becomes man and unites time and eternity in his very person. Through Mary and Joseph, God was fulfilling Isaiah's promise. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. And then St. Matthew adds, for his non-Jewish listeners, which means God is with us. At Christmas, we celebrate God with us. God breaking into time in a way that was previously unfathomable. Yes, it was pointed to by the prophetic witness of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Daniel. But the divine presence was nothing like the coming of the Son of Man in Jesus of Nazareth. But even that was only the beginning. There was an even greater inbreaking of eternity into time at the resurrection. In our second reading, St. Paul is showing us that God transcends time and eternity through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This is what he's meaning when he says that Jesus was established as Son of God in power through resurrection from the dead. Each of these readings is revealing to us what those vibrant sisters understand, just how close God is to each of us. Now let me state it maybe even a little more explicitly from the scriptures. Jesus began his public ministry proclaiming, "The kingdom of God is at hand," or "is in your midst." God revealed himself to Moses as, "I am who am." In other words, I am being itself. St. Paul would state it this way. He says, "In him we live and move and have our being." This is how Pope Benedict then explains it. He says, present and eternity are not like present and future, located side by side and separate. Rather, present and eternity are interwoven. Eternal life, God's realm, is in the midst of time. Present and eternity are intertwined. This is a key to understanding Christmas joy and Easter joy and heavenly joy. Here's why. Please let this sink in. Because God became man, which we celebrate at Christmas, and because Jesus rose from the dead, God's realm, heaven, is always at hand, not just 2,000 years ago. And then Pope Benedict explains why there's so much power in this truth. He says, if we live in this way, then the hope of eternal fellowship with God becomes the expectation that characterizes our life. It becomes the expectation that characterizes the way we live. Because some awareness of its reality develops for us. We become aware of it. And the beauty of it transforms us from within. Fellowship with God becomes the expectation that characterizes our lives, and the beauty of it transforms us from within. What does the breaking of God into our world look like? Well, to be sure, it looked like when Israel escaped from Egypt through the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. To be sure, it looked like Jesus curing people, walking on the water, multiplying the loaves and the fishes, raising the dead. It looked like Mary when she appeared miraculously to 70,000 to 100,000 people at once at Fatima. And when the local newspapers report that the sun literally danced in the sky. But these are not the essence of our faith. They serve as powerful reminders that there's a lot more going on in the world than what we can see. However, this is not what those vibrant religious sisters experience. They are joyful because they live in God's presence on a regular basis. They recognize and experience that the inbreaking of God into our world is surprisingly common, but no less beautiful. They know because of Christmas and Easter that the realm of God is intimately intertwined with ours, and unspeakable joy is always within our grasp. Here's what it looks like for those of us who don't have visions of Mary and don't have visions of Jesus, and I don't have them either. God breaks in wherever his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all the time, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God's kingdom comes where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. For most of us, the encounter with God looks more like the life of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Thérèse lived a quiet, middle-class lifestyle out of the limelight until she entered the convent at age 15. And from there, she was known only by a few people outside of her friends and family until she died a painful death at age 24. And yet she became a saint and doctor of the church for explaining and showing that the real way to joy is to do every little aspect of our lives with great love. She reminded us in practical ways that God breaks in wherever his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. God is love. Therefore, whenever we love, aware of the nearness of God, we open the door between heaven and earth. What we forget is that what Saint Thérèse articulated was not new. She just articulated it in a way that resonated. Before Saint Thérèse, the little way was the little way of Mary and the silent way of Saint Joseph. Because they allowed God to break into and operate in their lives. And not only in happy times, but also in sorrow and trials and persecution. God is near to us in all of the events of our lives, not just in joys and triumphs. Even if you're experiencing grief or hardships or failures, even if you have financial struggles, your children are not practicing the faith, or maybe your family members have life-threatening illnesses, it does not mean that you are excluded from joy. Joy comes from knowing that God is with us and that somehow he can use our human brokenness and the dysfunction of our situations to allow us to experience his eternal life now. Because God became man, eternal life is in the midst of time. Present and eternity are interwoven. And so if we live in this awareness, then the hope of eternal fellowship with God will become the expectation that characterizes our life, and it will transform our lives from within, in good times and in bad, in poverty or riches, in health or sickness. It's the joy you see in those vibrant religious sisters. Their lives can be very difficult at times, but that does not exclude them from knowing the joy of Christmas and Easter in some small way every day. Nor does it exclude you. Every moment you offer God, every little thing you do with great love, aware that He is near, is a miniature Christmas. This introduces Christmas joy into our lives and prepares our hearts to experience eternal joy, heavenly joy. May that joy be yours and your families now and always.